Jema. So, we are strange creatures, of course we all know that. But the strange part is we are like blind people with eyes. That's a very dangerous situation. When we are blind and don't have physical eyes, then we know we are blind. But when we have eyes and we believe that our mind can judge things, know things, that's very difficult. So all the time we look at appearances and we are judging, passing judgments, all kinds of things. And one such judgment is that, you know, the world is a hell. We never challenge our perception. But okay, it's all right. Perhaps it looks like hell sometimes. Maybe for some people, many times. Let's take that extreme case. But what really is hell? There are people who don't experience it like that. So whose situation is better? So there are different conceptions of the world. One such conception born out of surface vision is that it is hell. There are other conceptions also. For instance, one conception which goes to another extreme is that it's an illusion. Of course, that doesn't solve the problem because the pain we experience is very real. So saying illusion actually is like finally and it doesn't help. Third solution which the Buddha gives, that it's an error of perception. And from that point of view, if you see, even heaven is hell. In the sense that even when we think life is beautiful, happy, I mean not beautiful in the real sense, happy, very pleasant, perhaps it's a state which a spiritually awakened person will call as suffering. Why it is suffering? Because we are very comfortable with our ignorance. So from the spiritual perspective, a life of pleasure will be a condemned life in a way. A life of suffering. Who is suffering there? The soul is suffering. We can't see it. And the sign, I can actually give a proof of it. The proof of it is wherever human beings are entrenched in a life of pleasure, they are always running outward to seek some kind of joy. They run to bars, they run to parties, they run to food joints, because the natural joy which we are given as a child, that is missing. A child even born in the most difficult circumstances still has some kind of a joy. You give him food, he doesn't question who is giving the food. Give little comfort. They experiment where it's no more a father or mother, but simply a surrogate, a mechanical something where the child is put on and the child is comfortable. He doesn't question all that. So, a life of pleasure, we run, we say we have a very happy life, but basically we are running from one place to another to just be happy, which should be our natural state. Whereas a life which is often painful, challenging, difficult, is a life because by the very fact that we are being challenged, we can evolve and grow. Unfortunately, most of us get locked in that prison, hell of our own thoughts. In the sense we believe there is no way out, we cannot go out. And that's why the mother says, if you think life is a hell, then all right, instead of blaming yourself or others or God, do something about it. Whatever you wish to do. And if you cannot do about it anything about it, then don't complain about it. If you can do something about it, do. It's better, you know. If nothing else, you try to find some way, material way, physical way, whatever it is. It's a challenge thrown at us. But then the other part is, is it really a hell? And is it a hell forever? And how can we change it? So there is a very nice phrase in Savitri which exactly describes when people think it's hell. So what is hell? Hell is a furnace. It's described as the heat of hell, red furnace. So what's happening in this red furnace? It's a purifying furnace. When life seems hell, that means God has taken it very seriously upon himself that he is going to purify you, to remove all the dross, all the ego, all the desire. Maybe in one go he is going to give all the tax that is due to the night. And the second thing which I find very wonderful, which is even more, when Savitri describes what this earth is, she says, it's the smithy where we are being forged. See, smithy where loharka, where you know the blacksmith or the ironsmith, what does he do? You throw raw iron, then he puts it in that furnace. Ever seen it? It becomes red. It's a hot furnace. And the iron, it can melt iron. That is the temperature. Sometimes they have to use those glasses because the temperature is so high. It can damage the eyes. And then he takes out and beats it into whatever he wants to shape it into. Maybe a sword as in olden times. Maybe nuts, bolts, whatever. So, when we are crude in our consciousness, then we have to go through the red heat of hell as a purification process and a smithy. It's like we are in a smithy. And what is being forced through this smithy? Out of the human elements, godlike elements are being forced. Those who go through this fire in a right way, as Shurvindu says in Savitri, the spirit rises mightier with each defeat. Its godlike wings grow wide with every fall. And then he says very powerfully that all who have arrived, they are stamped by this fire. So when we look at hell this way, that it's a shortcut, a passage. It comes in everybody's life. And it comes because we have to yet things are crude in us, which need to be purified. And hence the hell is there. And the sooner we purify them or allow to be purified, sometimes there is no choice. So we, like the man whose teeth had fallen and he became vegetarian. And when he couldn't eat non-veg food anymore, his wife says, I never knew I prayed to Durga so many times. But you never listened to me. But this time I see on the great festival you took vegetarian thanks to Goddess Durga. He says, don't rub salt on my injury. Goddess Durga has taken away my teeth. I still want meat, but I cannot eat it. So this also happens. This is also God's ways. He keeps the food in front of you, but you cannot eat it. So purification takes place in many ways. But if we remained unconscious, then it's very painful. That's how the Vedic Rishis described that we can be purified through suffering. There's a tapasya involved in suffering, but that's not the way divine wants us to take that. But when we hand ourselves in the hands of the divine, then he does it in a way which is a much more beautiful way. He will mold where there is a need for mold. He will keep away what needs to be kept away, he'll bring near what needs to be brought, and many of the things which we may have had to face objectively, he will exhaust them subjectively. That's why Shobindu says in one of his aphorisms that if you leave it to God, he will exhaust your sins in the sense those dark tendencies subjectively. But if you take it upon yourself, then there is the objective way, means you go through real, real dangerous situations, difficult situations. So if life is a hell, that means we have been picked up to be forced into the smithy of God. And when that passage is over, we'll be purer, wiser, stronger. Go through it with the divine name and with trust in God. Is there any other way? Anyways. But do it with faith, and then we will see the same heat of hell will appear much less. In fact, it will vanish, because you will feel the hands of grace which always comfort us will be there, even while, as the great mystic poet says, Guru Kumhar Shish Kumbh hai Antar haath sahar de bahar mare chot. So what does he do? When the guru is given to take us, so he says he supports you from inside. He is the potter. and he sees where all the defects are there. He sees the coat in your nature. You want to hide, you want to wear a nice dress, you want to show yourself as somebody, whatever it is. But you can't hide from the Guru. So what does he do? He shows you, but gently he tinkers. But also he supports you from inside. Antar hath sahardeh. He holds us from inside while does it from outside. This is the difference between those who go through this purification process or hell of life, but supported by the divine, because they are open, so they naturally feel the presence, and those who do not open to the divine and want to do it all by themselves. Jai Ma.